Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You always do well when you share in the work of the gospel. People are perishing. There's no greater call that we have than to see people rescued from hell. Second to that is the call that we have for those who are poor and impoverished, that we have been called to make a difference. And that's the next greatest call that we have, is in being involved in helping meet their needs now and showing the love of Christ.
You can't go wrong when you are walking in obedience to God and in obedience to His will. When your desires are His desires, then your actions will glorify Him so that those around you will see His goodness. Today's passage out of Philippians 4, 14 through 20 really causes us to examine why we give and also consider whether we are answering God's call to really help those in need. Here's part two of The Benefit of a Giving Heart with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Jesus also told us that Christianity, that a sign of being a true Christian is helping those who are needy. He did this by telling a parable of the sheep and the goats. And He divided them, and then He said the goats didn't care about the hungry and the naked and the thirsty and the imprisoned and the sick. And He said the sheep did care about the hungry and the naked and the thirsty and the imprisoned and the sick. I love Keith Green's song called The Sheep and the Goats. If you haven't heard it, download it, listen to it. It's an awesome song. It's got a passionate piano play as he plays out the story of the sheep and the goats. And when he gets to the end, he says, "The only difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and did not do." Now, I'll add to it. It's not what you do that makes you a sheep. It's not what you don't do that makes you a goat. It is a sign that you have been touched by Christ when you have compassion on those who are in need. That's a sign of Christianity. When you ask yourself, am I really saved? Have I really given my life to Christ? Do you have compassion on those who are hurting? Do you have compassion on those who are lost? That is a sign that we are really Christians. Jesus spoke of a woman who gave everything she had. It wasn't much. It was a widow's mite. It was 2 cents. Many had given a lot. But at the end, Jesus said, "Who gave more?" These men all gave out of their resources, but this woman gave all that she had, which gives us a clue that God doesn't keep bookkeeping the way that we do. We think, oh, I'd give if I had $100 to give, because $100 would go a long ways to helping the church reach out to those who are lost. But don't you understand the church doesn't need your money? I'm going to go another step. God doesn't need your money. God's sovereign. God can do whatever God wants to do. It is about sharing in the work. And if you say, I can only give a couple of dollars, you think that God's scoffing your $2? You think that when a child drops in 25 cents because they want to be a part of the work that God does, that God somehow scoffs the 25 cents that that child puts in? There's something precious to God when we will sacrifice. It is a sweet-smelling aroma, and it is a good thing to do at whatever level God calls it to be done. And this account of Jesus saying that this woman gave all that she had tells us again, it's not about how much we give. God's accounting system is far different than ours. In the New Testament, there are several passages. I've chosen three. 2 Corinthians 9:6, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." This verse is not given to us to appeal to our greed, as some have used it. God is not saying, listen, you give and I'm going to give you back a bunch. You give and I'm going to make you rich. You give and you too can wear $15,000 pairs of shoes. Which I would be greatly disappointed if you did. He's not saying that. He's simply saying this. Listen, if you give sparingly, well, then all I need to do is give back to you sparingly. But if you give bountifully, I'll give back to you bountifully. God is saying, don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid to be generous. I will take care of you. That is what all of the verses in the Bible are about, that talk about God returning to you when you give. God is trying to encourage you to be generous. He's not trying to appeal to your greed. Why in the world would He appeal to something as sinful as greed? He is appealing to your generosity, that you would say, I know that God will take care of me. and I will give, and I will sacrifice. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Let each give as he purposes in his own heart. One of the questions that I have asked the most about tithing is how much you are supposed to give. Am I supposed to tithe off of my gross, or am I supposed to tithe off of my net? Let me say this first of all. Don't ask a pastor how much you should give, because he's probably going to say, well, how much do you have? Because he's trying to make ends meet, and God's stretching his faith, and God is making him be a good steward of what God has given him. And so he's going to always want to say, well, more. Whatever you're given, give more. You give as you purpose in your heart. Pray and ask God. Pray with your wife. Pray with your husband. Call out to God. Ask him what you should give, and then give that. That's the decision that you make. It is up to you. And that way, you save yourself from being manipulated. God wants none of us manipulated. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he was collecting a collection for Jerusalem. They had been excommunicated. They had been forbidden from selling in the markets. Poverty had struck them. In order to fight the poverty in the early church in Jerusalem, they had moved into a commune. They had thrown all their money into one pot, and they were all living off of it. That money was running out. Paul basically said to the Gentiles, we owe the Jews. It was Jesus that came out of, he's the Jew, and he gave his life for us. And it was out of Judaism that God used to bless us, the Gentiles, and we owe them. And so he got together a collection, and he brought it, and he told the Corinthians, you get it together before I get there. Because when I get there, I don't want to have to make you give what you promised. I want you to have it ready when I get there. Paul had no desire to manipulate people, have them stand up and hold their money up in the air. Or say, God told me somebody here gave, 10 people are going to give 10,000, so why don't you 10 people stand up and hold your 10,000? He wouldn't do any of that stuff. Paul had no desire to do it. You give as you purpose in your heart. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same manner or measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Old Testament passages on giving. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions, and when with the first fruits of all of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. God is simply saying, make giving a priority. Honor him with the first fruits. Determine what you're going to give, and then give it. And do that first of all. Don't, after everything is all spent, say, what should I give now? But determine what you're going to give, and then give that. But it is connected with my next verse, which is Deuteronomy 16:17. Every man shall give as he is able. God didn't want you to give above what you are able. Watching YouTube, I heard a guy say, give by faith. Use your credit card. I'm going to go a little different direction. Pay off your credit card. You don't need those things. Pay it off. Do whatever you got to do to get rid of those things. The money that you're spending on interest on those credit cards, eventually you could give and you could help people out with a lot more than the credit card companies that don't really need your money. Pay them off and give. If you give, and we have opportunities to do that now, you can go to any website where they have take offerings and you can give with a credit card. When I do that, and I do that, I use a debit card to do that. I'm not giving by credit. I'm giving money that I have in my bank account that I'm giving. I think it's a great opportunity. I'm glad that I have that opportunity to be able to give that way. Just use a debit card to do it, or if you're going to use your credit card, pay it off the next month. Don't keep those running tabs. Pay as you're able. God's not asking you to do anything you're not able to do. And I love that, don't you? Give as you're able. You say, well, I don't really going to be able to give much. Well, so? God's not asking you to give beyond what you can. God's only asking you to do what you can do. And that's a good thing about our God. There may be some pastor somewhere who wants more from you. There may be some television evangelist who wants to stay in a nicer hotel so he begs you for more money, or wants to buy another multi-million-dollar house somewhere so he can take vacations in. But God just wants you to give whatever you are able to give. That's what God desires. It goes on to say, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord, your God, which he has given you. Malachi 3:10, bring all of the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord God of hosts, or the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be enough to receive it. God is simply saying, give to the work. The Old Testament, the storehouses, the tithes, the temples where people were worshiping. Give to the work and God will bless you. Now let's go to Philippians. Here in Philippians, Paul is, well, he's received a gift from Epaphroditus, who is the pastor of the Philippians, as they have gathered together an offering for Paul. Paul is imprisoned. The money makes a radical difference for him, there's no doubt. Paul has spent the first few verses talking about this money. We looked at it last week when we talked about the secret to contentment. Paul talked about the first few verses by saying, I thank God for your gift. And then he spends the next few verses saying, but I didn't need it. And I love it. Paul says, I thank God for your gift, but I've learned how to abase and I've learned how to abound. I don't really need your gift. Yeah, if gift didn't come, I would have been fine. I wonder how it made the Philippians feel to first of all hear that. But see, Paul understood something. And that it was God that provides for the needs of the work of God. And if God uses people to provide for that, it is God that does it. And people don't get the glory when God does something. God gets the glory even though people might be giving. It is one of the reasons that I believe that we need to give anonymously. It's one of the reasons we don't put plaques up on the wall that tell people how much they should give. It's one of the reasons that I don't give meetings to people who want to give a lot of money to the church. Because you should give anonymously. You should give not to get a pat on your back or some human recognition, but give because it is your desire and it is your heart to give. And so Paul glorifies God, but he says, I didn't need it. And after telling them I didn't need it, he says, I've learned how to be hungry, and I've learned how to abound, and I've learned how to suffer need, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But then finally, he turns to them and says, nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. He says, God provided it, I didn't need it, but you guys have done well. You always do well when you give to those who are in need. You always do well when you share in the work of the gospel. People are perishing. There's no greater call that we have than to see people rescued from hell. Second to that is the call that we have for those who are poor and impoverished, that we have been called to make a difference. And that's the next greatest call that we have, is in being involved in helping meet their needs now and showing the love of Christ, giving a glass of water in the name of Jesus. Knowing that we do what we do because of it, we do well. I don't understand completely the next verse where it says you have shared, or the next part of the verse in 14, you have shared in my distress. They by giving, they shared in the actual distress that Paul was in. When we help a child that's out on the street, we share in their distress. When we help a homeless man, we share in his distress. When we provide water, one of the reasons that people die in the world, the main reason, the top reason people die in the world is the lack of good drinking water. When we help to provide water for those who need it, we share in their distress. I don't understand how it all works, but there's some spiritual principle at work here that allows us, as we give, to share in the distress. And then he wants to show that they have had this. This is them. This is the Philippians. They're giving people. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you alone. This is a pattern for them. Paul says, I recognize this. When I left Macedonia, which is Europe, okay, Paul had gone from the Middle East to Asia Minor, all the way over into Europe. From there, he went down to Greece and Athens. And when he did, he says, and verse 16 is a kind of a crack up to me. It really is speaking poorly of Thessalonica for some reason. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now, I don't know why Thessalonica is such a shocking place for them to help him. But even in Thessalonica, it's like you don't even want to help the Thessalonicans. You know, they're out there. But even in Thessalonica, you sent money and you helped me there. Maybe it's that the Thessalonicans should have been helping, but they weren't. And so Paul also says in another spot that the Bereans were more fair-minded than the Thessalonians. It seemed like he had something against them. I don't know what that was, but even in Thessalonica, you reached out and you helped me. And then in verse 17, and I love this, not that I seek the gift. Paul didn't care about the money. Paul says, I never sought your gift. To the Corinthians, he writes, not that I seek your gift, but I seek you. Paul loved them. Paul cared about their souls. Paul cared about their relationship with Christ. Paul loved them. Those who wear the shoes, buy the homes, use the ministry as a means to get rich, don't care about the people. They just care about what they can achieve and what they can gain. They'll answer for that. I wouldn't want to be them on that day when they stand before the living God and answer for it. A workman's worth is higher. I'm on several boards. I'm on several church boards. In fact, I'm on too many church boards. At the end of the year, it seems like I'm traveling time and time again to go to these boards. I probably need to cut some of them back. But when it comes to the pastor's salary, I believe he ought to be paid generously because I think he ought to have the right to be generous. I don't think he should be struggling when he goes to lunch hoping somebody picks up his lunch. He should be able to buy the lunch. Having said that, it can go too far, can it? There can be too much that is given. Paul said, I just love you guys. And he said, I don't seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. We have a heavenly account. We talked about God's accounting being different than ours. Is it a checking account? Is it a savings account? Can I draw on that now, God? And we have an account in heaven and we can't lose the reward, Jesus said, in that account. I don't know how it all works, but the Bible says that those who bring many to Christ will shine like the stars forever and ever. Paul said, I want you guys to have this account in heaven. And I thank God for the gift because you guys will be blessed. The fruit will abound to your account because you have given. That's the right heart of a pastor. That's the right motivation that a pastor ought to have. Every time he takes the pulpit and talks about a verse that shares, talks about giving. Paul now says to them, maybe what he should have said in the very beginning, indeed I have all and I abound and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. Paul says, I have it all. You guys have blessed us. He says it's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. I can say in the 25 years of ministry that we have been here, that we have all, that we have abounded. It's not that God hasn't stretched our faith. It's not that God hasn't caused us and brought us to account to make sure that we are good stewards of what is given, because He has. We've had to trust Him in faith. But we abound and have all by the sweet-smelling sacrifice that you have given, the aroma that's been given before the Lord. That's what Paul says. And again, for the second time, he emphasizes in verse 18, it is well-pleasing to God. It is a thing that He is blessed with. You say, what can I do that blesses God? Well, a giving sacrifice blesses Him when given with the right heart. And then he says, and my God, and I love that he says that because he's talking to people who know God as well. You ever had someone in your family say, had one of my kids say the other day, at my house. And I said, at your house? I think it's my house, actually. I'm your house right now, but one day you'll be gone. It'll be my house. Or one of my kids said one time, my mom. So your mom, you mean my wife? Your mom, my wife? Paul says, and my God. But I think it's good for us to make that distinction. He's my God. He is my God. He takes care of me because He is mine. And I am His. And my God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you can claim that verse if you're not a giving individual. That's the context of what's here. You say, well, I don't give and I know God's going to provide all of my needs. Well, give. I don't care how much, but give. Verse 20, and here's where he ends it. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever, amen. Paul says, I don't want you guys to receive the glory. I don't want to receive the glory. I want that child that crawls into that warm bed to say, thank you, God. I want that mother who has struggled to provide for her family when the father has abandoned them to be able to say, thank you, God, that you have provided for me. I want the soul who comes to Christ to be able to say, not to the church, thank you for preaching, but to God, thank you for dying upon the cross for me, for giving your life to me. To God be the glory, the song says, for great things he has done. Now, I'm out of time, which again shocks nobody. But let me just take a moment and get as practical as I can, because I believe that we need to. If you somehow feel condemned today after this message, that has not been my heart. I hope you know that. If you feel like I'm a rotten, horrible person, I never give, just going to quit, I'm just, you know, not going to be, that's not been my heart at all. My heart has not been to condemn you in any way, shape, or form, but to hope that what would happen in you now is the same thing that has happened in me. And that is that as I have studied this, there has been a stirring in my heart that I would give more. There's been a desire that I would reach out and help those that are struggling. That's my desire. That's my goal. That you would say, Lord, I do want to give to you. That you would be stirred up in that. And there's very practical ways to do it. You need to give to the work of the gospel. You can do that by giving to the church. You can do that by giving to organizations like the Gospel Rescue Mission, which works in the gospel as well as helping those who are struggling. Or Samaritan's Purse, which does the same thing. These are organizations that we as a church are involved in. We have raised money as a church for Gospel Rescue Mission. We're working on getting Franklin Graham to come and talk to you about Samaritan's Purse and what your involvement can be in that. You can give to these organizations online. Crisis Pregnancy Center. They are involved on the front lines of saving babies that would be aborted if they had not been there. I believe that it is powerful for us to be involved in that. They've asked me to come and share a devotional just to share on the topic of abortion, and that it's still there, and a reminder of what God wants us to do before their walk for life. It's a good organization to be involved in and to give. There's more. I fear that I would leave some out that are out there as opportunities to be able to share and give, but I want to say, if you say there's no place for me to give, I don't know where to give, I don't know what to do, then you really are speaking out of turn. There are so many opportunities. All it takes is a computer and a debit card to be able to share with those who are truly hurting and to make a difference and to share in their distress. I want this to be an incredibly practical teaching on giving and understanding. Nobody's saying we're not going to be able to do anything if it's not for you. Our God is great. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And they will be helped, whether you are a part of it or not. They will be touched, and they will be helped. But we have the privilege of being a part of it. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the clarity of the Word of God. We thank you for the work that you are doing in each one of us. We do pray that we would be and have the opportunity to share in the gospel that is being preached, and that we would be able to share to those who are cold and hungry, thirsty and naked, sick and imprisoned. Open up doors. We want to be involved in these things. We pray for you to move within our lives. We give ourselves to you. We pray that everything that we do give would be a sweet-smelling aroma to you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, We'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.